In John chapter 19 is one of the chapters in the gospel that contain some of the things that Jesus said from the cross. He actually said seven different things from the cross. And again, I'm not going to say this is the way it was because I don't know for sure. But as I've studied, I believe that he said three of those things from 9 o'clock till noon and then the other four from noon to 3 p.m. And it's interesting to me, though, that even though he was suffering as he hung on the cross, the first three things that he said from the cross, at least the first three things that I think he said from the cross, didn't apply to himself. They all applied to others. And again, I would just remind you tonight that nobody suffered like Jesus did when he was his trial, the things that happened before he went to the cross, and then while he hung on the cross. And again, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, so I won't take a lot of time, but just let me remind you, he suffered physically. The soldiers beat him. They plucked out his beard. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. Nails were driven through his hands, his wrists, and his feet. The crown of thorns was placed on his head. A spear was thrust into his side. He suffered a great deal physically. In fact, the history tells us that most people, or a lot of folks that were put to death this way, died before they got to the cross. I mean, they died with the whipping and the different things that the soldiers did to them before they actually got to the cross. So he suffered a great deal physically. He suffered emotionally. He was jeered by the crowd. He was mocked even by the two thieves that hung beside him. You know what they said? Hey, if you're really who you say you are, if you're really the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you have the power to come down from the cross. Why don't you do this? Why don't you just come down? And so he suffered physically. He suffered emotionally. And then he suffered spiritually. I mean, when God laid on him all of our sins, and because of those sins, turned away from his only son. Again, you've heard me preach on it. You've heard me talk about it before. First time in all eternity that God the Father and God the Son were separated. Jesus cried out during those moments, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And even though in the midst of all that suffering, the suffering that he did physically, the suffering that he did emotionally, the suffering that he did spiritually, the first three things that he said did not deal with himself, did not deal with the suffering he was undergoing. The first three things that he said dealt with other people. The first thing I believe he said was when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he asked God to forgive the folks that were actually putting him to death, the folks that were actually putting him through the crucifixion, the ones that had beaten him, the ones that had spit on him, the ones that had mocked him, the ones that had shamed him, the ones that had pushed the crown of thorns on his head, the ones that have nailed him to that old rugged tree, he looked upon them and prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't really know what they're doing. The second thing I think he said was what we read in John chapter 19. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He first of all asked God to forgive the crowd that crucified him, and then he took care of his mother. He saw John standing there, the disciple who he loved. And he said, John, behold, he said, woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. What he was doing was asking John to take care of his mom for him. And then the third thing that I think he said was what he said to the thief that died on one side of him, who again, earlier in the day had mocked him, earlier in the day had taunted him like the other thief and like the crowds. But as that thief watched Jesus die, as he watched the grace that Jesus died with, as he heard what Jesus said from the cross, asking God to forgive the crowd that crucified him, asking John to take care of his mother, he said, as the other thief continued to mock him and to jeer him, he said, look, what are you doing? We're here because we deserve it. But this man has done nothing to deserve this punishment. This man has done nothing to deserve this death. And then he asked Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So here he was. He hung on the cross. And by the way, I think the cross is the pinnacle of all human history. I think the cross is the most important thing, and the thing that happened on the cross, the crucifixion, the sacrifice of God's only Son, is the greatest thing that has happened in history. Every scripture in the Old Testament points forward to it. Every scripture in the New Testament points back to it. Every person who believed before Calvary was saved looking forward to it. Every person saved after Calvary was saved looking back to it. All the redeemed in heaven sing of Calvary. So this is Calvary. This is the apex. This is the center, the pinnacle of all human history. And here's Jesus hanging on the cross. He's about to speak. What does he say? Is he going to tell us more about how God loves us? Is he going to tell us more about redemption? Is he going to tell us more about the kingdom of God in his final moments before he lays down his life for us? Let's listen to what he says. Listen. He says, John, I want you to take care of my mom. And he says, Mom, I want you to go home with John. He's going to take care of you. I think these two verses, two of the sweetest verses in all the Bible. Because you see, a son who, yes, is dying on the cross, who, yes, is dying for all the world, who, yes, is suffering in ways that we cannot comprehend. I mean, we read about the crucifixion. We get a picture in our mind. We perhaps have seen pictures that somebody has painted. We perhaps have seen movies where somebody has tried to depict the suffering that Jesus endured. But I want to tell you what, we have no idea what he suffered. I mean, yeah, maybe we can somehow approximate the physical suffering. Maybe we somehow can approximate the emotional suffering. But I don't think we understand for a moment that time that Christ was separated from the Father. I don't think we understand the depth of his suffering as God the Father had to turn his back on his only begotten Son because of our sins. And yet, the midst of all that suffering, Jesus, as he hung there, gave his mother three wonderful gifts that I would like to talk about tonight. As Brother Bob said this morning, there was no flour, there was no candy, there was no corsage, no gift to unwrap, no special dinner. But I think as he hung there and he asked John to care for his mother, as his mother stood there, as we talked about this morning at the foot of the cross and heard him say these things, I think Jesus gave his mother three gifts that every child ought to give their mother. And I'm not just speaking to the young people tonight. I'm talking about every single person here. I know some of you, your moms are still alive. I know some of you, your moms are in heaven. I even know there's some of you here tonight that, in the way we count good, didn't have a very good mother. But I'm going to tell you tonight, these are three things that I believe every child owes their mother. And I believe that Jesus set the example for us as he gave his mother that day, as she stood by the foot of the cross, these gifts. And so I just ask you to listen for the next few minutes. I'd ask that you consider giving your mother these gifts. Many of you already have, and I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. These are things that I don't need to remind you of, but I'm going to anyway, because I think, again, these are gifts that everybody ought to give their mom, whether she's alive or whether she's gone to heaven already. Number one, he gave his mother the assurance that he was on his way to heaven. He gave his mother the assurance that he was on his way to heaven. He said to the thief, as Mary stood there and listened, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. Now, I know he was talking to the thief, But he also knew that his mom was standing at the foot of the cross. He also knew that Mary was standing there and could hear what he said. And he said, "Mom, I'm going to paradise today. I'm going to heaven." Later on in the day, he would say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But he was telling Mary, "Mom, I'm going to heaven in just a little bit. Don't cry. Don't be sad. I'm going home. I'm going home." I'm sure as Mary stood there at the cross, her heart must have been broken. The little hands that rubbed her cheeks now were pierced with nails. The little feet that she kissed and with his toes played, "This little piggy went to market and this little piggy stayed home." And I don't know if she did that with Jesus, but she was a mom just like every other mom. And I'm sure she had a sweet little game that she played with him. Those little feet that she heard toddle around her house now were nailed to a cross. The side of that body that she had held close to her for 33 years was soon going to be pierced with a spear, and blood and water would flow out. The little head that cradled in her lap now was pierced with a crown of thorns, and blood flowed freely out. The little back that she had patted on many occasions as encouragement, as love, was now broken open by that cat of nine tails, caked with blood. So I'm sure that her heart was broken. But I believe that Mary knew that what Jesus was doing was the will of God. I think she knew it from the time that the angel came to her and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." She knows she knew it was God's will. She knew that when Jesus said, "I'm going to be with my Father, I'm going to paradise today, I'm going home," she knew it was God's will. Let me ask you tonight, whether your mom is still alive or whether she's in heaven, does she have the assurance that you too are on your way to heaven? I read a story not too long ago about a father who had six sons, and he was a Christian. Five of his sons were Christians, but the youngest was not. He got sick. He knew he was about to die. He called all his boys home. First, the oldest came in, and he says, "Son, I'm about to go home. I just wanted to tell you good night, and I'll see you in the morning." He called the second one and said the same thing. I'm about to leave this earth. I'm about to go to heaven. I'm about to go be with Jesus. I just wanted to tell you good night. I'll see you in the morning." Son number three, the same thing. Son number four, the same thing. Son number five, the same thing. Son number six, the youngest, never had received Christ, never had made a profession of faith, never admitted that he was a sinner, never admitted that he needed a Savior, never came to Christ. He came into his dad's room and said, he said, "Son, I'm about to leave this world. I'm about to go to heaven. I just wanted to tell you good night. Good night." The youngest son said, "Daddy, why didn't you tell me what you told my five older brothers? Why didn't you tell me that you'll see me in the morning?" And his dad said, "Because I don't know if I will or not. I don't know if I will. You've never received Christ. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. Your brothers have. I'll see them in the morning in heaven. I'd like to see you." Story goes that that youngest son got down on his knees beside his daddy's bed. He said, "Daddy, I want to see you in the morning. Would you help me ask Jesus to be my Savior?" That father was going to go out in eternity in just a few moments, and yet he had the privilege of leading his youngest son to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And when the youngest son got off his knees, he said, "Okay, good night. I'll see you in the morning." Maybe tonight your mom's already in heaven. She's around the throne, singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." But you may be here tonight not prepared to meet her. How sad. How sad. Jesus said, "Mama, I want you to know I'm going to be in paradise today. I'm going home. I'm going to be with my Father." And every person here, whether your mom's alive or whether she's already in heaven, you need to give her the assurance that one day you will join her there, that one day that you will join her in heaven. All the corsages you buy, all the candy you buy, all the gifts you buy, compared to this gift that you can give your mom, pale in comparison. Pale in comparison. Because every godly mother, more than anything else, more than, again, anything that we can buy on this earth, they want to know that their children will be with them in heaven. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. As he was dying, he gave his mother the assurance that he was going to heaven. So too should we. We should give our mothers that gift, the assurance that their son, that their daughter, is too going to heaven. Number two, Jesus gave his mother the assurance of provision for the rest of her life. I find it interesting. When Jesus started his public ministry, he did not call somebody and say, "Hey, I'm about to launch out into a ministry that's going to take me away from home. I'd like you to take care of my mother while I'm gone." I believe that even a lot of Bibles thinks that Joseph died early. And we know Jesus had some brothers and sisters, but that at some point Joseph died, and Jesus, as the elder, took responsibility for taking care of Mary. I believe when he went into his public ministry and he started traveling and he started preaching and he started teaching, that he did not shirk that responsibility to take care of his mom. And again, the Bible doesn't talk about it. I just what the Bible does say about taking care of our parents. I believe that even during his public ministry, when he was traveling, when he was teaching, when he was preaching, he still figured out how to take care of his mother. Now he's about to die. Now he's about to leave this earth. And so he says to John, he says, "John, I'm going to heaven. I've taken care of my mother these years that I've been here on this earth. I would like you to take care of her for me now." And so when he said, "Woman, behold thy son," he said to John, "Behold thy mother." And then that verse says, "And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." And he cared for her. He made sure her needs were met. He made sure that she had no want. He made sure that he took care of Mary just like Jesus took care of her when he was here. I do not believe that we as Christians can pass the care of our mothers or our fathers, for that matter, to somebody else. I know sometimes because of different circumstances, we have to put them where we can get help to care for them. But I'll tell you, I think that ought to be the exception rather than the rule. I think the Bible teaches us as children of God that we have a responsibility to take care of our parents, that we have a responsibility to make sure that their needs are met, that we have a responsibility to make sure that they are cared for. I do not believe that we can just put our parents in a place and depend on somebody else to take care of them, depend on somebody else to meet their needs. I believe that's our responsibility. Amen. I believe that that's what God calls us to do as their children. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not some social agency's responsibility. It's our responsibility as sons and daughters. And Jesus was saying, Mom, I've taken care of you up to this point, but I'm about to leave. And so I'm going to entrust you with somebody that I trust. I'm going to ask John to watch out for you. And then number three, he not only gave his mother the assurance that he was going to heaven, and not only gave her the assurance that she would be provided for, Jesus gave his mother a son who was in the will of God. In the will of God. He said on several different occasions, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. When he was 12 years old and Mary and Joseph left, thinking that he was in the company of a family as they left Jerusalem from the time they went to Jerusalem. And they came back 3 days later looking for Jesus because he wasn't with family. He was still in the temple. And you remember what Jesus told them when they found him? Mary and Joseph said, how could you treat us that way? Didn't you know we'd be worried about you? You remember what Jesus said? He said, hey, don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? I didn't come to do my business. I came to do the Father's business. I came to do what God wanted me to do. Ask any mother here tonight. Ask them. Just ask them, what would you prefer? Would you prefer that your child be successful as the world defines success? Or would you prefer that they walk in the will of God? And I dare say, every mother here would say, my heart's desire, what I want more than anything else, is for my child to walk in the will of God, to do what God wants them to do, to be what God wants them to be, to serve where God wants them to serve. And if I had the time tonight, I'd go up, I'd ask some moms. I know what they say, because I know your hearts. I know the kind of moms you are. Yes, you want your children to not want, but more than that, you want them to walk in the path that God has laid out for them. You want them to walk in the will of God. Jesus gave his mother that gift. He says, I'm going to heaven. I've taken care of you as long as I can. And I promise you that what's happening now, it's the will of my Father. And so I'm going to entrust you to this one of my disciples. And again, I want you to notice, I'm just about done. I know we're out of time. But I want you to know one more thing. Notice who he entrusted her to. He entrusted his mother to John. The disciple, the Bible says, who loved him and who Jesus loved. The disciple who was one of the closest of Jesus' disciples. The one who leaned on his breast in the upper room as they had the last Passover meal that they would have together. The one who outran Peter to the tomb. The one who was with him, one of the three that was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there, John was there, when Jesus worked his miracles, when he raised the dead, when he healed the sick. He was one of the three that went with Jesus deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane. And John was the only one that the Bible says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I think this, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was not only thinking about his mom, he was thinking about John. He said, John, I want to give you a present. I want to give you a gift. I'm about to leave this earth. I want to give you the greatest gift other than salvation that I can give to a man. I'm going to give you my mom. I want you to take care of her. I want you to take her into your home. And I want you to love her like your own mother. And he gave her one of the best gifts this side of heaven that God could give to man, a mother. And so, again, as I close, whether your mom's still here or whether your mom's in heaven, I think every child should give her the assurance that you too are on your way to heaven. That you will take, if she's still here, that you will take care of her the rest of her life. That you realize that that's my responsibility. I'm not going to farm it out to somebody else. I'm not going to push it off to somebody else. I'm going to take care of her. And I'm going to walk in God's will. And I'm going to walk in God's will. And again, if I know the hearts of mothers here tonight, and I think I do, they would appreciate those things more than anything else that you can give her. Now again, I'm not saying that you ought not to express your love in other ways. I think you ought to. If you still have a mom living tonight, you ought to send her flowers. David told me tonight, he says, Pastor, I felt tempted this afternoon to just call you and disguise my voice and say, how dare you say send somebody to your neighbors and pick their flowers so you can give them to your mother? He didn't. He refrained. But I think, listen, none of us, if you still have a mom alive, you don't know how long you're going to have her. Only God does. Don't waste one opportunity. You ask the people here tonight whose mothers have already gone to heaven, they tell you, I wish I had just one more chance, one more moment with my mom to hug her, to kiss her, to give her some candy, to give her a flower. And so many times we take those that are closest to us for granted. That's why I always tell you, birthdays, anniversaries, Mother's Day, Father's Day, celebrate big. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sweet, sweet lessons that are in this book about how you want us to love one another. And I pray tonight that we would give these gifts to our moms, that we would give them the assurance that we are on our way to heaven. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that is not sure they're on their way to heaven, that, Father, you'd help them understand they're a sinner, and that sin's going to keep them out of heaven. There's nothing they can do to pay for it on their own. But when Jesus hung on the cross, he paid their debt in full. Offers to them tonight the gift of salvation if they'd simply come and receive it. And again, Father, if there's just one here tonight that's never made that decision, I pray they'd make it tonight. Speak to our hearts. Remind us of what we need to be as sons and daughters, as children of God. Bless this time of invitation. In Christ's name, amen.